from last Sunday was fear. And we're actually going to continue that topic this morning. Last Sunday, we talked about fear in terms of being afraid of something. And fear is used in two different ways in the scripture, and the other use of that word fear is the fear of the Lord, and that's going to be really our topic this morning. I thought it was interesting. Tom doesn't know what my topics are because he's in another Sunday school class. But I thought it was interesting how he started out this morning. Because an understanding of who our God is brings us to that place of reverence. That word fear, when it's used in that sense, in the fear of the Lord, it speaks about reverence. And I think sometimes we probably don't think about that very much, what it really means, that we would show reverence to our Lord. I think I'm going to start in Job. I don't know why I did this, but bear with me a little bit, I guess. I think I'm going to start in Job. Job is a place I go to often because anytime you think about suffering, you go to Job. Well, I thought this was a good time to think about Job in another way. Job, a man who, according to Scripture, was a perfect man before God. In verse 7 of Job 1, the first chapter of Job, and verse 7, the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" And then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" I'm going to stop there for a minute. As I was thinking about the fear of the Lord, and we're gonna think about it in a number of different ways this morning, but this actually came to me because I was thinking about how, that's a perfect verse up there, God formeth the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto man, what is his thought, maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. Our awesome and amazing God. Sometimes we forget or we fail to consider God's greatness. Just as Tom spoke about this morning, we make God a little bit bigger than us, right? And that's a dangerous thing. And the fear of the Lord is really about understanding who he truly is in all of his essence. Not just the things that we like. I had that song, Mercy and Love. It was going in my head this week, and so I played it this morning. A lot of God's people enjoy the mercy and love. There was something this week that kind of brought this to my attention. I don't remember all the details, but this thinking, I think, pervades an awful lot. Thinking about God's love and mercy without remembering that behind that is God's righteousness and God's wrath. Because without God's righteousness and without God's wrath, the mercy would be less meaningful. The love would be less meaningful. And we often tend to get focused on the things. And this verse came to my mind because, mostly because of what Satan said, not because of what God said. That's interesting, huh? Because Satan says, "Does Job fear God for naught? Does he reverence you for no reason?" And what Job is, or what Satan is implying here, which he says in verse 10, you do all these things for Job. Job gets great benefit. Of course he's going to reverence you and fear you. That's what he says in verse 10. You've blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. He says in verse 11, he says, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. See, the point that Satan is making here is Job only has a fear of the Lord because he gets a benefit from it. If our reverence for God is based only on the idea of the mercy and the love, we're missing part of the equation. We're not fully understanding the fullness of what it means. Let's go to Psalm 25. I have a whole bunch of psalms written down, and I don't know. If you study this topic, you can spend all day in Psalms pretty much, and another whole day practically in Proverbs. So, but Psalm 25. And verse 14. It says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. There's something to be known and understood. Now in the first chapter of Proverbs, a really famous verse, a lot of people probably know this or memorize it as kids if you went to church. I was going to say we've had, you know, studies in Proverbs recently, but it actually hasn't been recent, but we did have them. Chapter 1 of Proverbs, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. These two things have to be brought together. In order for us to reverence, truly have reverence for God, this fear of the Lord, as it's referred to in Scripture so much, we must get to know something about him. You'll forgive me for using movie references, but new movies that are out recently, The Avengers is all about those that have supernatural powers. And I was thinking, I watched not the very last one, but the previous one. And interestingly, people don't seem to have quite the reverence for these people until they find out what they can do, what they're capable of. That's just a movie, by the way, and it's fiction, okay? Just be clear. But it's a reminder to us that, you know, that this is the way we tend to be. We don't really have the ability to show reverence when we can't understand what is there. Why? Last time we were, I didn't write it down, but we were in the 20th chapter of Exodus for a little bit there as they were at Mount Sinai. And the people, they were afraid. We were there because of that reason. They were afraid because of what they saw and what they heard from God and what they were. Again, I tend to create pictures in my mind, you know, the mountain and the thundering and the lightning and so on, the things that were very impressive to them. In that 20th chapter of Exodus, in verse 19, they said unto Moses, speak thou with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die. You see, they have an understanding a little bit about how awesome this God is that they're dealing with. And that brings about a fear, a being afraid. But in verse 20, Moses said unto the people, fear not. In other words, don't be afraid. For God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. I had chosen that verse because I thought it was interesting, the contrast of the two fears in here in this verse, right? Don't be afraid. Well, they were afraid because they had seen the awesome power of God. That should make people afraid. God's righteousness and what follows that is God's wrath should make people afraid. As they say, be afraid, be very afraid. But again, lack of understanding often supersedes that. But God doesn't want them to be afraid of him. This wasn't what he was going for. He came here so that the fear of him, that is the reverence of him, would be before their faces, so they would know this God. And I really want to keep track of that we have to be careful about coming to a place where we say, well, there's nothing to be afraid of with God, right? There is. God is awesome. He's righteous. And his wrath, who can stand? The scripture says that clearly. Who can stand? There's definitely something to be afraid of. But the good part of that story is the mercy and the love, right? And as I said before, they would be less meaningful if we didn't understand. If we didn't understand what it was that God delivered us from, if we didn't understand the truth of what that sacrifice on the cross means, the mercy and love would be less meaningful. I was thinking about that this week. Jesus had to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So that we would not. We often concentrate on the physical part of that crucifixion. But the physical death, the physical suffering, is nothing in comparison to that eternal separation that will come to those that reject God's salvation. And so that we won't ever have to say that, Jesus took that on the cross. And so mercy and love become more meaningful. Let's go to the fifth psalm. I want to get through a few of these psalms this morning. The fifth psalm. And the purpose here also is to understand that for God's people, the fear of the Lord, that is reverence of who he is, isn't just about an awesome God who brings wrath. It's about an awesome God who is righteous and just, but in his mercy, he paid the price for us. That should bring about in our hearts a great reverence for who he is. Psalm 5. Verse 4 of this psalm says, "For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple." The psalmist understood that he had no standing except for in God's mercy. Over and over again, by the way, as you go through the Psalms, you find this thought. The psalmist casting himself upon God's mercy, just as we also do today. He says, "I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy." In other words, it's only because of God's mercy that we can come into his presence today. And he says, "And in thy fear or reverence will I worship toward thy holy temple." That worship, true worship, is born out of the fear of the Lord. Those that worship for any other reason or in any other way are missing the point. I think a lot of times worship in the church today becomes more about the people that are doing it than about the God that they're worshiping. But a true reverence for who God is will bring about not just superficial worship, but true worship. And that worship is not just singing the songs that we do or praising the Lord. That worship goes deeper than that, and it becomes a part of our life. Our life becomes a worship. Let's go to the second psalm since we're real close here. The second psalm. This is a psalm about our Lord and his overcoming. But I really just want to pick out a part of this at the end. Verse 10 says, "Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." Our service to the Lord should also be done in reverence of who he is. If our service is coerced by others or done in an attitude of self-serving, again, we're missing out. True service is done in the fear of the Lord. Psalm 19. Let's go to Psalm 19. I also want to think about, as we get through this, some of the benefits which we're about to come up on here. Psalm 19, we sing this psalm, or part of this psalm. Verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, helping us to understand that reverence that is true reverence of God, it is clean, it is pure, it's not contaminated by the thinking of the world. Psalm 33, think about some of the benefits that come to those that fear the Lord. I do kind of want to mention, I guess, that, you know, this is an ongoing thing with us. We shouldn't think of this as a simple on-off switch. You know, I fear the Lord, I don't fear the Lord. It's an ongoing thing with us in degrees. In order to have come to salvation, we had to have had some measure of fear of the Lord to recognize that we needed a Savior. But as so much of the Christian life, the spiritual life that we live, there's an ongoing increase that happens. As we get to know and come to know our God better and more we will increase in that reverence for Him. Psalm 33 and verse 18 says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him. I find this to be very comforting. Some people may not. Maybe they don't want the eye of the Lord upon them. There's probably a certain difficulty that goes with that sometimes. But you know what? It's actually good. It's good in two ways. One is it means that God is watching over us to care for us. But it also does mean that God sees every part of our life, which is also good. We don't think about that sometimes. We think that's not good, you know, for people to be able to see our lives. But God knows. And that's good because it also means that He can then do a work that needs to be done in us. And if we are truly walking in the fear of the Lord, then we will welcome that. The 34th Psalm, just next one over, and verse 7. It says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him." So two things in this passage, and it goes on, by the way, to talk about more of it. But the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him and delivereth them. And then it says, there is no want to them that fear Him. God takes care of His children in all ways. These are encouraging verses for those that walk in the fear of the Lord. Psalm 103 is one of my favorite psalms. Speaks much about God's mercy, His forgiveness, His redemption. Verse 8 says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth," and think about that for a minute, "so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him." I think sometimes, again, as I say, failure to understand God's righteous character and God's wrath makes mercy a little bit less meaningful. When we truly understand what God has done for us, here it says, as the heaven is high above the earth. It's hard to comprehend that. We put stuff in space nowadays. I guess it depends on who you talk to, but the edge of space is about 85 miles up. It's a long ways. That's essentially more or less the edge of our atmosphere. But the heavens go on beyond that. We put satellites at 22,000 miles above Earth. If you have DirecTV or Dish Network, those satellites are 22,000 miles above Earth. That's a long ways. I don't know if you ever traveled 22,000 miles. I haven't. That's a long ways anywhere you go. I like that the psalmist, he tries to use these kind of superlative things to help us understand. As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. His point, by the way, is we actually don't know how far that goes. And it's also true about his mercy. We're just beginning to understand and to comprehend God's mercy. But if we choose not to know who God is, not to understand his character and who he is, we will fail to continue to understand and grasp the heights of this mercy. Proverbs 15, a good reminder to everybody, especially in the day and age that we live. Proverbs 15 and verse 16. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 16. He says here, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Now, I've read this verse many times. I think this is an important verse to understand, to know. But I hadn't really ever thought about what he really says. This is a comparison thing, right? He's trying to compare two things. This thing with this thing. So a little bit with mercy or with the fear of the Lord, then great treasure and trouble therewith. And I thought that was interesting. I never really thought about what he really said there. Lack of fear of the Lord brings trouble. Now, sometimes, and the psalmist understood this and wrote about it in the 73rd Psalm especially, but sometimes it seems that those who reject God don't have any trouble. Sometimes it seems like they do quite well, but there's trouble coming. And sometimes it seems like God's people have lots of trouble. But our life here is short, and there's deliverance coming for us. He says, better is little with the fear of the Lord. We've experienced and seen this much, especially in South America. We were there. Many that don't have much of anything, but they know the Lord, and they're quite happy, quite happy. God's people have something to look forward to that's not here. Yeah. And so trying to get captivated with and stuck on the things that are here just brings trouble. But if we truly know who God is, and we truly believe what he has said in his word, then we know that there's something that awaits us, something far better than what is here on this earth. The fear of the Lord is also what enables us, as I said before, serving the Lord in the fear of the Lord. In Ephesians 5:21, I want to read this real quick. Time's running out. Ephesians 5:21. submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. When we talk about submitting, people start to tighten up and cringe a little bit, because that's definitely not something that goes with our thinking today. Submitting one to another. And certainly it's not something that old creation likes to do or wants to do. But he says here, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord, knowing that God is over all and that he has instructed us to do so. He has instructed us to do so. Only in the new creation can we do this. By the way, before I finish here, only the new creation can exhibit the fear of the Lord. It's important to know and important to say. Only the new creation. Unregenerate man cannot. He can fear God, which hopefully will bring him to salvation. But only that new creation can do these things. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Not in our own ability or not in some, again, coerced manner, but in the fear of the Lord. With reverence for who our God is, because he has told us that we are one in Christ. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. I'm going to finish with this one. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and verse 28. He says here, wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. For those that are God's children, that's not a problem. But it's important to understand and important to know. But we serve God. So submitting one to another, by the way, that's part of service. You remember Jesus... I think it's the 11th chapter of John, 13th chapter of John. He comes in to wash the feet of the disciples. And Peter says, no, I'll do that for you. And Jesus says, no, let it be. He was showing us something about service and about submitting. If the Lord was not but beneath washing the feet of the disciples, why should service one to another be something beneath us? We do it in reverence and godly fear. Our Lord has been our example. But our reverence for him comes from understanding the value of what he has done, who he is, and what we have to expect. Outside of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross, we had only wrath to expect. Only wrath. And again, I don't think we understand the extent of that necessarily. Lately, we've been having a lot of storms, flooding, and stuff like that, and tornadoes and so on. And as these things seem to get worse and worse, it brings out fear. Because of the power, because of the destruction, and so on. And those things aren't even an inkling of God's wrath. Some people say, well, God's pouring out his wrath. No, no, not yet. And we have been delivered from that wrath that is to come. Delivered for all eternity. That should bring reverence to our hearts. To understand the amazing thing that God did for us should bring reverence into our hearts. Are there things that we're afraid of? We talked about that last Sunday. Yeah, sometimes there's things that we're afraid of. It's not terrible being afraid. Sometimes it saves us from things. But we don't need to be afraid of God. And we don't need to be afraid of his wrath. Because we have been delivered by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Any questions or comments this morning? Let's stand and